take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to have to write that illustration down and take it home with me, brother. I got some churches around my area just like that. And if they stay till 2 o'clock in the morning, nobody gripes. I don't preach, brother. That goes a long way. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's start reading. I got to get there first. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's there. Just give me a second to find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's begin reading with verse 27. That's verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. For ye see your calling, brethren. He's talking to the saved then, brethren. How that not many, a few, but not many wise. Thank God there's a few, but not many. Not many wise. Not after the flesh. I mean, not many wise after the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble. Are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh shall glory in his presence, but to him who are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'll just give me a clear mind, wash my mind in the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, you'll please fill me with the Holy Spirit and use me tonight. Lord, help me get out of the way. Lord, help me to hide behind the cross. And Lord, may it not be me, but thee. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Amen. Now, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 26. Verse 26 He says, not many mighty men. There's not many mighty men, not many wise men. They're after the face, not many nobles. He says, those type of people, there's just a few of them, but not a lot of them.
That's right.
Not a lot of them. But then he goes down to say in verse 27, but God hath chosen. God hath chosen. Now, the name of my message tonight, brother, I name all my messages. I put names behind them because then you'll know what I'm trying to say before I say it. So you won't have to, in the middle of it, say, well, what was he trying to say? Amen. The name of my message tonight is God's Five Workers. God's Five Workers. Now, I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about the people that God takes and God wants to use and do something with.
Amen.
God looks for people. God chooses people and he makes a choice. Look at the passage. I used to call this verse, Why God's Called Me to Preach. But I changed it to God Five Workers. And it says, God hath chosen. Now look at the passage. God hath chosen. Now, he didn't do it accidentally.
No.
It's not an accidental thing. God didn't go around and say, well, I got this, I'll have to choose that, that's what I'll take. He didn't do that. God does it on purpose.
Amen.
And it's an absolute thing where he says, now this bunch I want.
Uh-huh.
And he said, he's got five of them. If you'll notice them in the passage down there, underline them, it said, God has chosen what? First of all, foolish things. That's number one. The foolish things. Number two, the weak things. In verse 27, underline them. The weak things. Again, the base things. Number three, the base things. Number four, the things which are despised. The things that are despised, number five, and the things which are not. You say, why did he choose the things that are foolish, the things that are the weak, the things that are base, the things that are despised? He does it, why? That no flesh shall glory in his presence. So God, you say, well, poor Lord, he seems to get those kind of things. No, it ain't that at all. It ain't that at all. It says, he says, that's what I want to make this fellow look like a fool.
Amen.
See? So why? What does it make Jesus Christ look like? It makes him look like somebody.
Amen.
Makes him look like somebody. Now, first of all, number one. Look there in number one, the foolish things. It says, God has chosen the foolish things of this world. And I said, Lord, you mean to tell me, are you sure you want me? He said, yeah, I want you. I want you. Foolish things. You say foolish. Very foolish. Very foolish. One day I was pastoring my church in a little church out in the country in Mississippi and called Laurel, Mississippi, out in Laurel. It's just about 75 miles south of Jacksonville, Mississippi, right down in the middle of the Bible Belt. And I just started pastoring that church, and I've been pastoring here about 2 weeks. And Louise says, let's make a chili supper for all our people. And we had about 8 people there. And I said, let's make a chili supper for them. I says, okay, let's do that. And we went, I said, all right, what are we going to do? She said, well, I'm going to get a big old pot of chili going. And she says, I'll put this big old pot on the stove, and it's one of these things that you put in, and it has a knob on it, and it heats up inside of it, crock pot. You know one of those? And she put it up on the counter there, and she put them pinto beans in it. But the pinto beans were frozen. And she said, well, they're going to have to thaw out. And I said, well, I've got to fix this light switch. So let's turn out the electricity. So I turned out the electricity, and she said, well, I can't, how am I going to cook the beans with you working on the light switch and electricity out? I said, well, you go to town, and I'll fix the light switch, and then everything will be okay. She says, okay, but I got this all the way up on high. You have to turn it down on low, or they'll burn. So you got to turn it down. I said, okay, I'll turn it down. And fix a light switch, and in a couple of hours, and Louise left and went to town, and I worked on the light switch, and it took me about a half hour to fix it. And I finally got the thing fixed, and there was about 3 or 4 nuts left. What am I going to do with those? Throw them away. Cook them. Got it going. And then I went in, and I just got going through there, and I forgot all about her beans, and I turned on electricity, and went in my office, and I had an office sitting there like that, and had a window right there by my office, and I'd sit at that desk and look out the window, and I was sitting there and studying Daniel and Revelation, and I'd had some tapes going and looking at my desk and Daniel and Revelation and back and forth, and I looked out the window and said, somebody's burning the trash. And Daniel and Revelation, Daniel and Revelation again, and I'm just going at it, and Revelation and Daniel, and looked at him and says, boy, it's getting worse. Somebody really burning the trash. And down again, and Daniel and Revelation, all of a sudden it dawned on me. Them beans! And I jumped up, and the smoke had covered the house. It was just all the way through the house, and I couldn't even breathe. So I got way down low like this, and I went through the house. I went all the way through the house, and I got them back, and fire was just boiling up out of the beans like that. And I grabbed a bunch of towels and run over there and grabbed that pot of beans and carried it outside, and I got outside, and just as I got outside, the bottom fell out. And I thought, oh, the whole crock pot, oh, it's gone. What's this? She's going to kill me. We hadn't been married for about 6 months, you know. She's going to kill me. I thought, oh, no. Lord, do you really want me to preach? Are you sure what you're doing? And then the Lord says, yes, I have chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You say, he wants lawyers. Yes, he gets a few lawyers, a few. Oh, he wants doctors. Yes, he gets a few doctors. but he's looking for somebody that'll give him the glory. You know why he wants the doctor? He gets a few doctors for doctors. Said, I did it. And you don't do it. The Lord does it all. If you want something done, he'll do it. You want something done rotten, I'll do it. You want to mess it up? Amen, brother. Amen. I'll do it. You want to mess it up? Just let you do it. You with me? Then he does it or it don't get done. This is God's work, not mine and not yours. Amen? So he gets the glory when the day comes, and even before it, even now, he gets the glory. God has chosen the weak things, the things that are despised. I was working, you know, I'm not much of a carpenter, and I still nail stuff together. I envy carpenters sometimes. I just kind of wished I could do it a lot better than I do. When I really want something done neat, I hire it done. But I nail them together and go at it. And when I first started out, you know, I was out of Bible school, and I was working one day, and I had this piece of cardboard. About 4x4, and it had little pieces of thin wood, one by one, all the way around that cardboard, and it was nailed to it. And I wanted the 1x1s off of there. I was going to make something. I forgot what I was going to make. And I wanted that cardboard off of there, so I got me a hammer, and it was a 16-ounce hammer. Now, I'm going to get that off of there. I've got to get that off. And I hit it like that, and it wouldn't come off. And I just hit it again, and I hit it again, and it wouldn't come off. I said, well, I'll just get me a 20-ounce hammer, you know, a framing hammer. So I took that 16-ounce hammer and got me one of them 20-ounce hammers, you know, and a framing hammer. Anybody know what a 20-ounce framing hammer is? You know what one is? I took that 20-ounce hammer, and I said, I'll get that thing off of it. And I missed. Come up and hit me right between the eye. You ain't going that hammer hit me, right? It cold cocked me, boy. Yeah. I thought it killed me. My wife runs out there, what happened? What happened? What happened? Nothing, nothing, nothing happened. Nothing happened, nothing happened. I mean, I got a knot up there like a boy, black and blue, my. And I said, how dumb can you be? How stupid can you be? You know something? I know he called me to preach. He chooses the what? The foolish thing, but I'm qualified. You said, that's qualification. That's qualification. You say, what for? So when the day comes, I'll say, Lord, you did it. And right now, the day is now. He did it. He did it. And you know why? You say, why is that so important? That's so important because God does it absolute. Yeah. It's no accident. It's undone on purpose for an absolute reason. And oh, that God's people would hang on to it. You ever see him get the glory? Ever see man get the glory? They strut, boy. They strut up there. Oh, they strut around. I did it. I did it. I did it. You didn't do nothing. You didn't do nothing. You haven't got brains to come in out of the rain. I said that to my people, and one day I was out jogging, and it started raining on me. And one of my members says, what are you doing in the rain, preacher? I said, I haven't got any brains. Amen. God has chosen the foolish things of this week. God has chosen what? The weak things. The weak things. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 10. Turn to Luke chapter 10. You say, it's so important that the Lord, that he chooses these things, that he rejoices. In Luke chapter 10, look at verse 21. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, now watch it. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto what?
Babes.
But he hid it from who? He hid it from the wise and the prudent.
Yeah.
He hid it from them. They don't get it. They don't see it.
That's right. They don't.
Who do they reveal it to? To the babes.
Yeah.
So you want some from God, you know how you got to get it? You got to say, Lord, I'm a baby.
Right.
I'm a baby, Lord. I'm so dumb. Lord, give me something. Lord, I don't know it. Give it to me.
Yeah.
And you go in there and say, I got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree and a doctor's degree and a PhD. And Lord, you ought to give it to me. You know what the Lord does? He'll snub his nose at you. He'll say, not for you, bud. And that fellow comes in there saying, Lord, I'm a baby, I'm a baby, I'm a baby. He'll say, I'll give it to you. You know, you can't get salvation unless you come as a what? Little child. You know why a man goes to hell? He's too proud to humble himself. Too proud to humble himself. Too proud to get out and say, I need Jesus Christ. You know what's wrong? Nobody needs him. Oh, if I could just find me somebody that needs Jesus Christ. You know, I'd get him saved. Can't you better? And you can get him saved. They don't see a need. I'm all right, preacher. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm all right. I don't need that. You know, you do too. You need it or you're going to go to hell and burn. God has chosen the foolish things of this world. God has chosen the weak things of this world. What did David do? When David went out to fight the giant, what did he do? Did he go down there and get a whole army to go with him? Or did he go down there and just pick up five smooth stones? Pick up five smooth stones. What a thing to fight a giant with. What a thing to win the battle. What a thing. Just a little rock in a sling. And he wiped him out. One other man in the whole army was willing to fight him. Why? David said, I'll fight him with one rock. Why did God choose just one little thing? Why? So he gets all the glory. Gets all the glory. Why? So when the time comes, David couldn't say, I killed the giant. He can't say that. He said, the Lord killed the giant. You want the giant killed in your life, brother? You got to do the same thing. You got to get down and come and say, Lord, it ain't me, it's you. It's you. God has chosen the foolish things of this world. God has chosen the weak things. God has chosen the base things of this world. I was preaching one time on a street corner, and I was up there preaching in down there in Mississippi, and I still preach in the street corner. And I've never quit preaching on a street corner. I preach right to this day. I mean, I keep right on preaching. I'm going to preach on a street corner until the Lord takes me to all heaven. Lord willing, by His grace, I'm going to. And I was preaching that time, and I went out there and preached. And I was all by myself that time. I got some men with me now. I got about seven men that will preach with me. Boy, that's good to have them standing with you. But that day, I didn't have nobody. And I was out there preaching. I was scared. I'm still scared sometimes. But I was out there preaching. Amen. And I was out there preaching. And as I preached away, there was a cop right on in the middle of the street directing traffic. And I thought, boy, nobody scares me like a cop does. Nobody. And I seen that cop, and I thought to myself, oh, here goes. Repent or perish! And that cop, as soon as I said repent or perish, he spun around like that and looked at me. I thought, no, boy, here he comes. He can stop me before I get him going good. And I thought, well, I'll do like Leroy Wright. He's blind in one eye. So I'll just close this eye and be like Leroy Wright. And so I closed his eye like this, and I just looked out this side, and I kept on preaching. And that cop walked across the street just one step at a time, just right across there, and I had my eye like this looking. Closed the eye. Yeah, you're going to hell. You need to repent. And he kept walking and walking, and he stood about a foot away from me, right in my face, you know. And when you preach, you go from one side to the other, you know. I do. I look over here and then look over here, and I swung this open eye right around to that policeman's face, right in his face, and he was right there. Man, you can't keep on preaching in his face. I mean, right there like that. Man. You can yell, repent! You know, he's standing right there. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, like that, you know. I'm looking at him, eyeball and lying, got this in close, and I thought, well, what am I going to do now? He said, where's your permit? I said, the mayor said I could. The mayor said it. The mayor said I could. Don't ever go to the mayor. Go to the chief of police. The mayor said I could. And he said, where's your permit? Show me your permit. I said, well, I don't have a permit. He just said I could. He said, you get a permit or you get off of this corner, you can't preach. You go and get a permit, and when you get a permit, then you preach. But not until then. And so I walked around. I was so sad. I said, oh, Lord, those people are going to hell. They're going to burn. And I wanted to preach to them. It was a day right before Easter, and everybody was downtown. And I got in my car and drove around a couple blocks there. And I looked and seen this whole field full of black people. And they all stand out in the field. All of them just standing out there. Lord says, why don't you preach to them? I says, okay, I sure will. And pulled my car over and stopped and went out in the middle of that field and stood in the middle of that field. And I said, is there a sinner anywhere? I'm looking for a sinner. And everybody, all those black people, they went, and every eye around, there must have been 100 people, they just turned around and every one of them looked at me. I said, I'm looking for a sinner. Oh, that I could find me a sinner. I got a message for him. Can I find a sinner today? And then they wouldn't say nothing. And then I looked again. I said, hey, I'm looking for a sinner, and I got a message for you. I want to preach a message to a sinner. Anybody will raise your hand and say, I'm a sinner? And a black man, he raised his hand up in the air. I said, okay, thank you. I want to preach a message to that sinner. And I preached the gospel to him. And I started yelling and screaming and preaching to him. And I said, I'm going to give him an invitation. And I got this great big old Bible. And I'm preaching away. And I'm yelling and hollering at him. And I come to the invitation. I say, now, if you'll receive Jesus as your Savior, step out and come out here and put your hand on my Bible. And then I stopped. And out that black man started coming, had a little boy in his hand. And he took that little boy in his hand, and they walked out there like that, and they come out there like that, and walked right up to me. I says, you're going to hell, aren't you? He says, yes, sir, I was going to hell. I says, you don't want to go, do you? No, sir, I don't want to go. Didn't Jesus Christ pay for your sins, didn't he? He said, yes, sir, he paid for my sins. You willing to receive him? Yes, sir, I is. Then let's pray. Down on my knees, I got down on my knees in that dirt, and I said, now put your hand on my Bible and let's pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. How about your boy? Does he want you to? Yes, he does. Put your hand on my Bible. Let's pray. You know, when I got through, I thought, Lord, you wouldn't give me that corner, but you give me this corner.
Amen.
You said, God is choosing the foolish things. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks? They're too good to do that.
That's right. Amen.
They're too good to do that. You say, preacher, make me look like a fool. That's your problem. That's your problem. You're too busy worried about how you're going to look. You say, preacher, you preach on the street corner, look like a fool. I know it makes me look like a fool, but I really don't care. You know that? I really don't care, because God didn't call me to look smart. He called me, he said, he's the foolish things, the weak things, and the base things. Amen, brother. That's what he called. That's what he called and chose. And you said, preacher, you ought to be afraid. What for? What for? I ain't got nothing to read. First night my book, I didn't write it anyway. Amen. And that's what we bet. You want to have it? You got a problem with it? Just take it up with him. He wrote it. He wrote it, his book. You mad out of it? Get mad at him. Tell him off. This one's not my book. Not my book. Amen? God has chosen the foolish things, the base things, the things that are despised, the things that are not. What did he do with Gideon? What did he do with Gideon? I mean, he had thousands. Gideon had all the men he wanted to fight with. What did he say to Gideon? He says, Gideon, too many men. Too many men, Gideon. When he got him down, to 300 men. What did he tell them to do? Go out there and on horses? He said, nah, just get you a pitcher, get you a light, get you a lamp, get it on there, break the pitcher, blow the trumpet, and have the lamp shine. What a way to deliver people. I mean, what a way. You say, what to do? So God got all the glory. God got all the glory. He got it all. The base things, the things that are despised, and the things that are not. I want to give you my testimony tonight. I want to tell you about it. It took me several years before I'd ever give my testimony. I was probably 29 years old before I ever told anybody my testimony. And I had a hard time about giving folks my testimony because I didn't want to let people know. And I was ashamed of it. I would never talk about it until the Lord convicted me and told me to do it. And on that grounds, on the grounds that I think the Lord wanted me to, I'll tell you my testimony. And to tell you my testimony, God, I'll go all the way back to the beginning. Went all the way back to the first grade. And further than that, all the way back to kindergarten. And I went to kindergarten, and I always went to kindergarten a couple weeks late. Because my dad had a sheep ranch, and I always went to it a couple weeks late in first grade. So I went to kindergarten, I flunked kindergarten. I was a wild hare, man. And so I start through that, I go to the first grade. I go to the first grade, and I flunk the first grade. Back in those days, they whipped you when you messed up, boy. Yeah. They nailed your hide. I got the many whippings. I just got raw and just got used to it and just kept on going, man. They flunked you back in those days, boy. They set you back. And I went to the second grade and flunked to second grade. Went to the third grade and flunked to third grade. I can't read, can't write, and can't spell. I went to the fourth grade, and I flunked the fourth grade. You know, by then, you know what you do? I would sit in a class, and we would be spelling words, and we'd have a spelling word, and I would have all these words, and I'd get up, and I'd just run around the class and look at some of these and come back and write over it and get up and run over there and get up and come up right on, right in the middle of the class. While the spelling did, right now, you said, don't you know the teacher was watching you? I just let it go. I couldn't spell them anyway. What difference does it make? I didn't get them right anyway, so what difference does it make? I mean, boy, I'd make that class, boy, I'd tear it up. Right in the middle of the year, in the fourth grade, I was in the principal's office. That was my homeroom. I mean, I spent more time there than anywhere else in that principal's office. I was in there every day, and that principal nailed me every day. You say, didn't you get used to it? Yeah, I sure did. Blam, 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 blam. And I was in there, and that fourth grade teacher come in the middle of the year, and she said, I quit. I'm not going to teach again. And she quit right in the middle of the year and went to Hawaii. And as she walked out the door, the principal said, why? And she said, because of Nathan Bemis. I never will forget it. Because of Nathan Bemis. She walked right out of that class and quit right in the middle of the year. And they passed me on to the fifth grade. And I went into fifth grade. And I did the same thing there. And that teacher says, I am not going to have this. That boy cannot spell. He cannot write. He cannot read. He cannot do anything. Nothing can he do. I will not have him in the fifth grade. He disrupts the whole class. I can't teach. I can't do nothing. I am kicking him out of school. So my mom and dad took me and said, what will we do with him? He's 13 years old. In the fifth grade. What will we do with him? We will take him out and put him in a private school. So they took me and put me in Harvey Springer's school in Harvey Springer's. He had a school in his church. And they put me in that school. But they sit me down and give me a test and say, what can he do? They said, well, he can't do anything. He can't do nothing. So they put me in the first grade. I'm 13 years old. In the first grade, I'm 13 years old, sitting with all the first graders, all the first graders. You say, what happens to you? I really don't know. I really don't know. I have no idea. But it's got to be something because you're almost head and shoulders and waist above everybody else. I mean, you're a giant. They're all midgets. You talk about being a bully. I wasn't a bully, boy. I had never beat none of those little kids up. I was good to them. And I went through Harvey Springer School in the first grade. And then I went through the second grade the next year. And in the next year, I went through the third grade. And then the next year, I went through the fourth grade. And I'm now 16 years old in the fourth grade. I still don't know nothing. I'm still as dumb as a post. I don't know nothing. I don't learn anything. I don't know why. I never learned nothing. So my dad was drinking the money. My dad drank up all the money. He drank it all up. He got drunk and drank it all. There was no more money to send me to that private school. So I had to go back into the regular school system. Now I'm 16 years old driving my car to the fifth grade. Squealing on the lawn. And all them fifth graders would run out there and get in my car. And they soon says, he is going to destroy every kid in the school. We cannot have this. No way can we have this. And they would not have it. They just said, no way. We will not put up with it. So they said, what can we do with this Nathan Bemis? What can we do with this kid? So they said, there's only one thing we can do with him, and that is we have an edubical retarded class for him. Edubical retarded, what it was. But they didn't have it in the fifth grade, and they didn't have it in the sixth grade, and they didn't have it in the seventh grade. They only had it in the eighth grade. So I skipped the fifth, sixth, and went to the eighth grade. And all those kids in that room were retarded but me. I used to cry. And you said, well, how'd you feel? I have no idea. I just probably think I'm just like them. I didn't know nothing. I couldn't read anything. It used to really bother me. I would get real bothered about it and cry about it and bothered about it and frustrated about it. Couldn't do nothing. Still had to go to school. But, you know, I kind of got a little relaxing about it because one day, the teacher there gave me a test. It was one of these oral tests, you know, where you give the answer and the teacher gives it to you and you tell him. And he gave me this test and said, and you know, you put all these blocks in these holes, you know. So, anybody, have you ever taken one of those tests? All those kind of jobs, you know. And then they come back and they say, it's one of these things, what you're going to do in life. What do you want to do in life? What do you want to make of yourself, you know, one of those deals? And it come back, you know, this guy wanted to be this, and this guy wanted to be a doctor, and this guy wanted, and all this stuff. And mine come back, and it says, you want to be a housewife. And I thought to myself, they're just as dumb as I am. And from that point on, I wasn't really too bothered. You know, after a while, you just got to laugh or cry. So I made some jokes up about it, you know. I made some jokes up about it down through the years. I'd go to school the first day, and all the kids would bring the apples and put them on my desk. They thought I was the teacher. There's more truth than that than you can believe. This is just a joke now. This is just a joke. One of my teachers says, he is the flower of my class. A blooming idiot. What do you do, man? What do? You just laugh or cry, so you might as well laugh. So I went through the eighth grade in that retarded class, and that was my homeroom. And then I went through the ninth grade in that class, and that was my homeroom. And I went through the ninth grade, and then I went into the 10th grade, and in 10th grade, there was no more retarded class to go to. And I had to go into the 10th grade with just the regular kids. I can't read. I can't write. I can't spell. I can't do nothing. Can't do anything. And, oh, I could read a word here. He, and it, and the, I got the down good. I spelled do, D-O-W, for at least 30 years. No, 35 years. D-O-W, D-O-W. I got married to my wife, and she has a degree from Bob Jones University, and she says, you don't spell dude D-O-W. I write her a love letter, and she cried for a week. Literally. And I went to the 10th grade. I got in the 10th grade. And in the 10th grade, I said, I am fed up with this. I am fed up to hear with it. I can't read. I can't write. I can't spell. And I'm sick and tired of school. I've hated it every day of my life. And if somebody says, read to me, I'm going to kill them. literally, that's the way I felt. And I said, I'm going to join the Navy. I'm unlost. I'm lost as a hound dog is, and I'm as lost as a golf ball is in high grass, and I'm just as wild as a March hare, and I'm going down and getting drunk on the noon hour. I'm going down and getting drunk on the noon hour down at the bar. And I'm getting in my car. I rolled 13 cars. rolled them and run into stop signs and run into a gasoline truck doing 60 miles an hour. And it's a wonder I'm alive. I rolled my car in a ditch one night when I was drunk, and my mom said, what happened to you? I said, I fell off of Red Rocks, and I got scars all over them. She said, what? I said, fell off of Red Rocks. I was up on Red Rocks. I fell off. I didn't tell her I rolled my car in the ditch. And she just cried when I told her years later. And I said, I am tired. I'm going to join the Navy. And I had a friend of mine that said, do you think I could get in the Navy? He says, yeah, if I tell you all the answers. I said, do you think we can get away with it? He says, I know we can get away with it. Well, you just do it like I do it, and I'll tell you all the answers, and we can get away with it. I'll get you in. I said, okay, let's go. And so we went down there, and he told me what to write, and I wrote all the answers, and I got in the Navy. And I went in, and I was going to paint this world red with a paintbrush. Well, I was going to go. And then God saved me. I got aboard the USS Lexington, and God saved my soul. I used to cuss, man, what I cuss. See, when you're dumb and you're stupid, you don't want folks to know it, so you cuss. Don't you know that? I know that, even if you don't. So I had all these cuss words, boy, to cover up my stupidity, boy. I could paint a wall red. And then God saved my soul. Amen. You know the first thing he cleaned up? My mouth. First thing he cleaned up. From light to darkness. Yeah. From heaven to hell. And the guy said, what happened to you, Nathan? What happened to you? You're so different. What happened to you? I said, I'll tell you what happened to me. Jesus Christ become my Savior. Amen. He become my Savior. And somebody give me a Gideon Bible. Somebody give me a Gideon Bible, one of those servicemen's Gideon Bibles. And they fit right in my jumper pocket. And I'd open up my Bible and I'd go, flippity flops, foom floppers, foom floppers, foomity floppers, flipper floppers, foom floppers, foom floppers, foom floppers, foomity floppers, foom floppers, and foom floppers. And something just said, that is the Word of God. That's right. That's the Word of God. I put it in my pocket. Boy, I had that Bible anywhere with me. And somebody said, I saw you reading the Bible. That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. I'm reading my Bible. Flippity floppers, foom floppers, foom floppers, zoom, 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 zoom. Yep, I got it. That's it. I know that's it. I know that's it. That's it. I know it. There's a Z. There's another Z. There's an and. I know that's an and. That's an and. I had no idea what it meant, but that's God's book. Amen. I put it in my shirt pocket, and I'd carry it every way with me and jerk it out. And I knew John 3:16. I'd always turn to John 3:16. I had that memorized. I knew that was John 3:16. I'd find it, and I'd turn to it. I knew that one because Harvey Springer, I memorized it, and so I knew it. I memorized a lot of verses when I was a little kid, and so I got that one. And then I run into Dr. Peter Ruckman, and I heard him preaching. He'd get up there and preach, and I heard him preach one time, and I thought, I can learn something from that guy. I can learn something. He talks my language. That guy's right level with me. And I said, I'm going to go with that guy. And so when he'd get up there and he'd start preaching, I'd put my hand right on a verse, and he'd get it, and I'd get it. He'd get it, I'd get it. He'd read it, and I'd read it. He'd read it, and I'd read it. And he didn't know that I couldn't read. And he'd get it, and I'd read it. And I just kept listening to him, and listening to him, and listening to him, and listening to him. And then I started getting some verses, and getting some verses, and getting some verses, and getting some verses. And then, you know something? It was 5 years I could read the Bible, but I couldn't read any other book. But I could read that one. Don't tell me that book is just a book. That book is God's book. That book is different than any book in the entire world, all of them put together. You know what that book? I know what that book's going to do to me. You talk. You say, read to me. When I said read, a knot would come up in my throat, and a great big old knot would come right there, and a knot would be in that throat right there, and somebody said read, and I said, I'd just soon fight as read. Yes, sir, I'd fight before I'd read. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to read that book. And I said, that's right. I want to read it. And I finally got reading it. And Ruckman said, you need to go out and buy a book. He said, Clarence Larkin. Go buy Clarence Larkin's Dispensational Truths. And I went out and bought it, opened it up, and that's another flippily floppy foomba floppy. Stick it to my shelf. And he said, you need to buy Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I go out and buy Fox's Book of Martyrs. Flippity floppy foomba floppy. Stick it in the shelf. You need to buy Two Babylons by Hyssop. And I'd go out and buy it. That's surely a flippity floppy foomba floppy. Stick it in there. And he'd recommend book after book after book after book. And I had about $200 worth of books. I couldn't read a one of them. But I could read that book. I can read that one. I said, Lord, I can't read those. Maybe one of these days I'll read those. But Lord, I want to read this one. And so I kept going. Finally, Dr. Ruckman says, I'm going to start a Bible school. And I said, uh-oh. I knew that meant me. He started it, got it going. He said, I'm going to teach Greek class. And I said, uh-oh. And he said, Nathan, you take Greek. I said, yes, sir. And then I went away and I said, Lord, he don't even know that I can read. He doesn't know that I can spell. He doesn't know that I can do nothing. He doesn't know that I don't know. Lord, and I don't even know English. And he wants me to take Greek. Now, do you want me to take Greek? That's the question. And I bawled and cried and bawled and cried. And the Lord says, I want you to take it. I said, okay, Lord. No, I will. I'll take it. And he said, I want you to do the best you can do. Give it everything you got. Lock, stock, and barrel. The hardest thing I ever did in my life was try to learn Greek. I was working at the lumber yard, and I'd go around there and write Greek words on the end of the lumber pile, and this one, and this one, and this one. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, eo, lambda, kappa, nu, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, epsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. That's the Greek alphabet. And when we got through Greek, he wanted me to learn Hebrew. At it, and cried at it, and bawled at it, and worked at it. And when I got through, the Lord says, I can do it. I'm going to give you a verse. I said, okay. He said, I want this to be your life verse. I said, okay, Lord, what is it? It's this verse here. Take your Bible and turn to Philippians. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And this is my life verse. And as far as I'm concerned, it always will be. I want to take it to the grave with me, and I want to claim this promise, and I'm claiming this promise to this day. And I want you to claim the promise, too. Amen. and do something for God. Don't just sit around and do nothing. Do something. If you've never read that book and you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, Lord, they could read 10 times better than I can. Don't let them slide.
Amen.
And they didn't spend no time reading it. Lord, don't let them slide. Get them. That's what I'm going to say about you, because you could read 10 times better than I did, and you didn't read it. Didn't spend no time reading it. I hope the Lord gives you no grace then. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. You can read. You're going to give account. You're going to give account. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, when you're told all your life, you can't do it, 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 you know what you do? You don't do it. I'm telling you something. You can do all things through Christ to strengthen you. You want to do something for God? Then say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I want you to use me and give me something to do. And God's got something for you to do. You say, what is it? The base things, the foolish things, and the things that are what's not, and the despised things. Is that you? Then give yourself to God, and He'll use you. All eyes closed and all heads bowed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. All eyes closed and all heads bowed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, with every Christian with your heart bowed before the Lord, maybe there's some of you here tonight, you're saying, preacher, I can't do anything. I can't do nothing. I just don't have the ability. I just can't do nothing. It's not in me. I'll tell you something. That's the kind God's looking for. God's looking for you. You say, me, preacher? Yeah, you. There's something that God has given you. There's some talent that God has given you somewhere. Maybe you don't see it, but there's something you can do. There's so many things that you can do. If you'll just say, Lord, here am I. Lord, give me a job, Lord. Give me a job. And then whatever job that is, no matter what it is, you take it. And then you give it your very best. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. That which is least. Maybe it's just a little old thing like coming in and do a little work on the church. Maybe it's just coming in and vacuuming the floor. Maybe it's just making sure all the lights are turned out. And maybe it's just some little job. Maybe just taking care of the nursery. Or maybe it's just some little, you say, oh, preacher, I don't have any talent. Yes, you do. You can do something. But you know the problem with a lot of Christians, they just say, well, I won't. And then they never do. And you know something? God is looking for you to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Now, how about it this morning, this evening, right now, with every eye closed and every head bowed? Maybe there's a Christian here who said, preacher, I don't know what I can do, but I want to do something for the Lord, and I'm willing to pray that the Lord will give me a job to do. Will you raise your hand tonight? Maybe there's a Christian like it. Amen. 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 Some of you. Now, I want to say something to you, those that raised your hand. You can't start at the top. You got to start at the bottom. You can't start at the top. You got to start at the bottom. At the very bottom. You say, where's the bottom, preaching? The bottom is no glory, no praise, no thank yous. No, right at the very bottom. And it's not glorious. It's hard. And it doesn't look like anything. Start right at the bottom. And you say, at the bottom, preacher, at the bottom. And then the Lord will take you from there. The Lord will take you from there. And He can do it for me. He can do it for you. He can do it for you. But you can't be lazy. You can't be lazy. You got to work hard. God is looking for workers. He's looking for workers. Are you one of His 5 workers? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you help your people. Help them to take this message to heart. And Lord, help them to do something about it. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And for His sake, amen. Amen.